Welcome to the Stronger Marriage Podcast with Trey and Lee. On this podcast, you'll hear real topics about real life. They cover everything from married sex to raising kids to loving your spouse so much that you're willing to forgive them for occasionally being the most annoying person in the world. Trey and Lee have raised four boys, been married over 30 years, and somehow still really like each other. And now, live from the metropolis of Childress, Texas, a place so flat you can watch your dog run away for 3 days. Here are your hosts for the Stronger Marriage Podcast, Trey and Lee Morgan.
Hey guys, we're glad you joined us today.
Hey, glad to be here. We're 2 weeks in a row, we've knocked this podcast out. Life hasn't been too busy or too crazy, and so we're glad to be here with you talking today about 10 things you should know about married sex. It's been a while since we've talked intimacy and sex, and we just think that's a pretty good topic we'll throw out there. It seems to me, Lee and I both noticed that all the podcasts that we've done where we talk about sex are the most listened to podcasts. I don't know why that is.
I guess people want to hear about it.
I guess so. We think from maybe the Christian side,
It's not talked about enough.
There's not a lot of people talk about it, and we don't mind talking about some things, and that may not be the case. Maybe folks just want to know what are they going to say.
That's right. Curiosity.
Yeah, so we're talking that. A couple of things to start off first. Intro music was back after a couple of weeks off. We had some folks that said, where is the great runaway part? Yeah, and we just hadn't played it. We need to update that. But
yeah, maybe it's time for a new one.
Yeah, I just hate spending $14. You're the frugal one.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Tell us two things that we want to talk about before we get started. One of them is we are doing a 12 dates of Christmas.
Dates of Christmas.
On
yes.
Social media. We're having fun with it.
That's right. So we've just kind of based this off of the song that you're familiar with, The 12 Days of Christmas, My True Love Gave to Me. So we did our first date with a theme around a partridge in a pear tree. And that was fun. We made some homemade pear cider and decorated a Christmas tree and... What else did we do?
We actually went old school and watched a show that we watched when we were little kids.
Oh, my goodness. The Partridge Family.
Wow, I didn't remember it being that lame.
I mean, it came out in like 1970 or 71. Yeah. So
the acting was a little rough.
The TV has come a long way, but it was fun. Kind of a little blast from the past there.
Last night was a little more spicy. We'll just tell folks you can look that up on our social media.
Yeah.
But day two, we kind of spiced it up a little bit. And
we did two turtle doves, and today we've done three French hens, and we'll post about that tomorrow. So we're just trying to be creative. Most of these, really pretty much all of them, are things you can do at home during social distancing and quarantining. If your town's like ours, we're pretty overrun with the virus right now, so we're trying to stay in as much as possible.
At-home dates, and you can do these. These are at-home dates that you can do, and it may require putting some kids down to bed early, but they can be done. Yep. You know, somebody even mentioned the other day, I said something about dress-up dates online, and they said, you can't do a dress-up date. You know, we can't get out, and it's like, oh,
we're
yes,
gonna
you
show
can.
You that you can. So,
we can have a fancy dress up date from home.
And really, a lot of these are family friendly. If you want to get the whole family involved, most of them are. Now, last night's was not, but but most of them are. So.
Yep. Check the new one out on Facebook and Instagram. Yep. Is where we've been posting those. Also, we have our new book that has been out and doing extremely well. It has set for a little while at number one on new releases on Amazon under the both the marriage and the devotional titles. And so we've been very excited about that. We hope maybe you've considered ordering one of those for Christmas. We've been trying to tell those husbands out there this would make a great Christmas gift, or maybe you wives want to get one for you and your husband to do together, or just you yourself. You can do it by yourself. But anything you can do to bless your marriage and is good. It is a study on marriage through the book of Proverbs, and it is we've had a lot of requests for what's a good devotional study for a couple, and so we thought we'll just do one, and We didn't plan on writing a book, but we had a little time with all the quarantine and stuff, so we kind of put it together. It's available on Amazon, and if you can't find it and don't know how to find it, you send us a message and we'll send you a link where you can get to it, all right? So let's talk a little bit about 10 things that you need to know or you should know about married sex. Some of these will be things that you go, ah, I knew that. Some of these will be things that you go, yeah, that's pretty interesting. Some of these will be great things for maybe you to talk about with your spouse, to just kind of maybe to communicate. Man, when you can communicate about sex with your spouse, that is the healthiest thing you can do, because just thinking your spouse should know things doesn't work well. And sex is a unique thing in marriage because it separates your marriage from every other relationship that you have in life. It is the one thing that we share in marriage that exists in our relationship as opposed to all other relationships. It's mm-hmm. the one thing that we do, and it's a treasure. It's a gift from God that God gave marriage. And just a reminder, you know, if you grew up in a generation like us, sex was kind of a, boy, you don't talk about it. You don't discuss it. If it comes on TV, you turn it off. And so we didn't talk about it a lot growing up, and sometimes it can be sold as being shameful or dirty or nasty. Let me tell you something. God is pro-sex in marriage. He created it. He created it to be beautiful. And we rarely hear message affirming that side of sex that is good, healthy, and something worthy of our time and attention. And so we feel like it is a vital part of a strong marriage. And so we talk about it when we get a chance to.
Yeah, it's healthy. It's a healthy thing to talk about. So. Mm-hmm. The first one, let me kick us off.
Yeah, let's do it.
You should probably be having more of it.
Yeah, that's probably right. I don't know. I guess if you're, some people may go, well, I can't do that more than we already are. But yeah, it's that important to your marriage and to your relationship that you probably should be doing that more often. And it is one of the ways that God created married couples to both connect. The two shall become one flesh, Genesis chapter 2, and to reconnect with one another when you know, your marriage is a little stagnant, your love is a little stagnant, and you're just kind of frustrated with each other. And sometimes reconnecting with intimacy is a very healthy thing.
That's true. You know, it says here that a lot of arguments in marriage stem from sexual frustration. What do you think about that?
I think so. I think that sex can either be a really good thing or marriage, or sometimes it can be one of the most frustrating things ever. And so that's why communication about it is so important between a husband and a wife. And if God is pro-sex, it's okay if you talk about it. It's okay if you discuss things. And if you're a little uncomfortable discussing things, maybe you could text them to your spouse. You know, I don't know. I'm looking for ways to help y'all communicate a little better about things. But since we're talking about having more of it, maybe we should talk for a second about oxytocin, which is a hormone that God has placed in our bodies that releases, which is a bonding hormone. It releases when mamas have babies. It releases when mamas nurse their babies. It's God's way of connecting a mama and a baby. And it releases during sex. And so it's God's way of connecting a husband and a wife, or a wife to go, this is my husband, and a husband to go, this is my wife. And so it's a very important thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool how God made our bodies and gave us hormones like that that would actually help us feel closer to one another. It's pretty amazing.
That is exactly right. What's a second one on our list?
So most men see sex as a form of stress relief, but most women need sex stress relief before they can be in the mindset to make love.
So what you're saying is that if your house is filthy and there's dishes in the sink and the kids have stuff the next day that isn't ready to go, then women can't really focus on intimacy?
No, yeah, for sure. We just kind of need to make sure everything's done and out of the way before we can focus. And sometimes men need to to have sex so that they can focus on those other things that need to be done. It's kind of humorous how God made us exactly opposite when it comes to this. He made men and women exactly opposite.
Yeah, God has a sense of humor, obviously, because men need that for stress relief. And that's how men connect with their wives. That's how they emotionally connect with their wives. And a lot of times wives have to emotionally connect with their husbands through communication and help with those stress reliefs before they feel like they can connect with their husbands sexually. So men and women view sex very, very differently. And just because your spouse is different from you doesn't mean they're wrong or like it different, but try to see things through your spouse's eyes if possible. That's a really important thing to do.
That's right. Yeah, don't make assumptions. Communicate. Again, we're going to say that about this. Communication is key.
Yeah, it is. And it, like I said, it may be something you're uncomfortable doing, but it can be done. Remember that foreplay is an all-day event. Yeah. Now, we use in our workshop an illustration about men being wired up like microwaves, meaning in about a minute is all it takes to heat up a cup of coffee. Sure. And in about a minute is all it takes to heat up a man. Most men. Now, we're speaking in general.
Right, exactly. We always have to speak to the majority.
Yes, we speak to the majority.
But now women are more like slow cookers.
Yes.
Where you put something in the morning or at lunchtime, and then it's got to cook, you know, most of the day before it's ready to eat for supper.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that makes men who don't quite understand this, if you're waiting until 9 o'clock at night to try to turn on the slow cooker, it's not going to be ready.
That's right. You're going to eat some raw chicken.
That's exactly right. So the best thing you can do, men, is start early in the day. Think about this. Foreplay is an all-day event. So do little things throughout the day to show your wife. This should be something that takes place every day, not just on days that you want to have sex. Mm-hmm. But fix her coffee in the morning time before or her lunch for her. Do something to serve her. Wake her up with a good morning, beautiful text. Stop by her workplace to, you know, say hello or to just bring her a favorite drink. Do something. But all day long, those are things that you do that gets her in the mood throughout the day. And that makes sense, doesn't it?
That's right.
Let me read something to you real quick on here for a second that I had written down. Foreplay is kind of like making love that doesn't include sex at that moment. Foreplay is, you know, we often say make love every day in your marriage, even on days you don't have sex, which is like touch and kiss and hold hands and cuddle and talk and flirt, send a sweet text message, praise one another, tell your wife she is absolutely gorgeous, brag on her, be your wife's biggest fan, be your husband's biggest fan. But men, regularly compliment your wife in her looks, in her hairstyle, her body, her clothes, her curves, her sexiness, the way she smells, the way she thinks, her mind, her intelligence, all those things matter to her. You appreciate her and she'll do anything for you. You know, be her biggest fan. And wives, same holds true. You be his biggest cheerleader and his biggest fan throughout the day. And that is important to do. So remember that foreplay is an all-day event that takes place. And you get a chance to touch your wife while walking through the house, you just reach over and run your hand across her back or her rear end or whatever it is, and just to let her know, hey, I am thinking about you today. touch is a healthy thing. Flirting is a healthy thing. What's another one?
So, men, if you want to get your wife in the mood, here's a little play on words, try chore play.
So, yeah, that's a weird word. That's kind of an invented new word. Foreplay. Chore play means, we talk about this in our workshops, and if you're a woman, you're listening to this, and you're going, hey, I'm the one with the higher sex drive. About 23% of the time, wives have a higher sex drive than men. And so we're kind of basing a bunch of stuff here on the fact that 23% of the time that the wife has a higher sex drive in men, 78%, 77%. I'm not doing my math. I didn't write that down. has a men have a higher sex drive? But basically that means with chore play, that means do something for her that she doesn't always like to do, whether it's dishes, laundry, fill up her car with gas, change her oil, something like that. Most men are turned on very easily, very quickly. You know, they can just see their wife sometimes, and it's like, man, there she is, and I'm ready. And with her, it is maybe you need to focus on doing some things around the house to bless her.
That's right. And this goes back to that second one we talked about, that women need stress relief before they're in the mindset. And so you help her do all of these things that she feels like she needs to do before she can go to bed. And that, you know, that kind of helps clear her mind and get her in the mood.
That's exactly right. One of the things you might consider doing, which we talk about in our workshop, is ask your spouse what they think is romantic, because you may be surprised what they think is romantic and what you think is romantic. So let me give you another five. Number five on our list of things, as we're kind of going down our list of 10 things you should know about married sex, is most people have some sort of baggage that they haven't fully discussed with their spouse or something in their past. Sometimes bringing this out in the open to your spouse or to a counselor or to somebody can really help break through in life and in marriage. So maybe you've got some stuff in your past that is holding you back for one reason or another, and you need to talk to your spouse or to your to a counselor or somebody about that.
That's right. If you're just harboring some bad feelings over some things that have happened in your past, that is not good for your intimacy with your spouse. Secrets, abuse, anything like that's happened in your past, you really need to work through that with your spouse, just so that you can have the best intimacy as possible.
True.
We talk about how important openness and honesty is in marriage, and this is a big part of that.
Yep.
A big topic that you need to be open and honest about.
Yeah. Inside, always be open and honest about everything. No secrets. Inside the bedroom, outside the bedroom, all places, that's just a very healthy thing to do.
So, number six, you should be physically monogamous and mentally monogamous.
So, and can we even throw out there emotionally monogamous?
Sure. I mean...
So the word monogamous means...
Well, you're only with one person.
One person. And that's the interesting thing about sex. Because there are a lot of needs in marriage, affection, communication, praise. Those are the things that take place. Sex is the only thing that takes place in your marriage that you don't share that with anybody else. And so we're monogamous physically, but we also need to be that mentally and emotionally, if we can go that far. So being mentally monogamous would be what? Give me some ideas on that.
Well, this is where a lot of people turn to porn, and that brings, you know, whole new world into the bedroom with you, which is very dangerous because you're thinking of other people or images or whatever, and you're not just focusing on your spouse.
Yeah, and so you could do that with movies. You could do that with movie stars. It being mentally would mean I am going to, my wife is going to be the only one that I'm attracted to. My husband is going to be the only one that I am mentally want, the only one I think about sexually. And so that's important that you do that, whether it's romance novels, magazines, pornography. So you be monogamous physically, mentally, and emotionally. And that would be where friendships of the opposite sex come in. And you are to be friends with your spouse and emotionally connected to them and not somebody else.
That's right.
And so be cautious about texting, friendships where you have feelings for someone, something along those lines, because you should be a one-woman man and you should be a one-man woman.
Yeah. And, especially for women, sex is a very mental thing. We've talked about that. And your sex life starts with your thought life. So keep your thoughts and your fantasies focused on your spouse.
That's a good way to put that. Number seven, sex can struggle a bit when you have young children. They really can. But don't use that as an excuse.
Yeah, you may have to just be a little creative, you know. Sometimes putting the kids to bed a little earlier or if they're busy playing, you might just need to sneak off for a minute.
And turn Lion King up a little louder and sneak off somewhere.
I mean, you just do what you got to do sometimes.
That's exactly right. But don't use that as an excuse. You can do anything that you want to do in life. And sometimes we tend to use kids and work and everything else as an excuse. And when it comes time to spending time with your spouse, whether it's just time with your spouse or sexual time with your spouse, it is going to be a priority. And if you don't have time to do that, that's because it's not a priority. It can get done. So don't use that as an excuse, but it can struggle a bit at times. And if you're there, Lee has always been so good at this and communicating this. There are times where you may go through a stretch where you've got sick kids in the house and people not feeling well and you're stressed. And as we talked about it earlier, when a wife is stressed, she can't focus sexually.
It's the last thing on her.
Yeah, exactly. And every now and then you may have to look at your husband and go, I know it has been a while. Hang in there, because I am missing connecting with you as much as you are with me.
That's right.
And so just communicate that may make him feel a whole lot better.
That's right. And like I said, sometimes it's just the last thing on our minds and we don't even realize that it's been a long time. And so men, you may have to just tell your wife, hey,
I miss you.
I miss you. is there an end in sight here?
Yeah. So. And that's okay. You should be able to communicate like that with your spouse. That's healthy. Number eight, don't use sex as leverage. And I understand exactly what this means, meaning don't deny sex to get your way on something. Don't do that with anything. Don't do that with affection, praise, communication. That's why the silent treatment is such a horrible thing in marriage, is when you deny something your spouse needs, whatever it is, to get your way. That is unhealthy for marriage. That is a form of control, reward versus punishment, and that's not the way God designed sex. Not the way God designed meeting one another's needs in marriage. When you withhold affection or praise or sex or any of those things, or communication from your spouse to punish them, you're not just punishing them, you're punishing your marriage. And you don't win.
That's right.
You don't win. That doesn't mean you can't have fun with it. Meaning sometimes you hey, let's get this done. So whatever it is that we're working on together, so we can have some, you know, sometimes it's fun to play games like that, but don't use it as a leverage tool of, I'm not doing this until you do this right here.
That's right. And we talk about stalemates, you know, couples get into stalemates, and this falls in there too, where, somebody might say, I'm not going to do that because she never does this. And, we just get selfish and we want our own needs met. And so we think, well, I'm just going to withhold whatever it is until they meet my needs. Stalemate. So that's dangerous. Don't play those games in your marriage. It's not healthy.
Yes, that is exactly right. Let's keep going. What else we got on our list?
Don't put your sex life on hold while you're raising your kids, or you might wind up with an empty nest and an empty marriage. We have talked about this before.
We have. We talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about it, it does fit kind of under the sex can struggle when you have young children.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes couples tend to, I don't think they ever do it on purpose, but they will, if they're not careful, they'll go, we're going to raise these kids and put all our focus on them. And then someday when they are older or gone or out of the house, we'll go back to focusing on our marriage. And sometimes you do have empty nest, and sometimes it you find you have an empty marriage because you have not worked to maintain that marriage.
That's true. One of the best gifts you can give your kids is the security that comes from seeing mom and dad in a loving and healthy, affectionate, committed relationship with each other.
Yeah. Kids need to see you as husband and wife, not just as mom and dad all the time. And that is healthy.
That's right. You need to make grossing your kids out a regular thing.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing. Our kids have said it a few times, hey, get a room, or that is gross, or something along those lines.
That's right. They need to see you kissing and being affectionate. Of course, we want you to lock the door. When you,
don't scar them for life.
We don't want that. No, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. There may be things in their past.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, No, don't scar your kids.
Finally, have fun.
Yeah, sex is supposed to be fun, so enjoy it.
Yeah. It. I mean, wow. Can you imagine all the things that sex does besides just having fun? I mean, how good that it is for you. There are so many benefits to sex and the benefits of marriage that goes along with it. Let me give you an example right here.
Yeah, we saw this today on somebody's post on Instagram.
Our friends over at 24/7 Marriage, 247 Marriage, they are awesome people. And here's their list of things that they have found on the internet that sex can do for you. It lowers your blood pressure. It reduces stress. It burns calories. An orgasm helps with menstrual cramps. More sex equals better sleep. It gives a healthy glow. It improves self-esteem. It is free. You can do that anytime you want. And you probably could just go right down the list of a whole lot of other things. But yes, that was a great post by our friends over there at that that have a marriage ministry as well. And I appreciated the fact that they're willing to kind of step up and talk a little bit about that as well.
That's right. If you enjoy sex, you'll find your stress levels decreasing, your laughter increasing, and a more positive outlook on life together.
Yeah, and I'll just say, you can't build a marriage on sex. Great marriages aren't built on sex, but it's really hard to build a great marriage without one. That is just an important part of it. So make that something that's a priority. And, you know, whatever it is, you got this. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Join us for the 12 dates of Christmas.
Yeah, we hope you'll look those up. And at least if you don't want to do all 12, at least try two or three.
Pick some out. Go through with your spouse and let them pick out two or three. And you pick out two or three and make it the 6 days of Christmas.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
You guys have a great week. We enjoyed you hanging out with us. And we are going to see y'all next week. As we have some friends on, it'll be our first ever interview with some friends. They're going to talk to you about their marriage. We've got some questions to them. They've got a great story, and I'm anxious to hear from them. They've attended one of our workshops. We're anxious to ask them what they thought. We're hoping they say good things. I think they will, but we're excited about being on with them next week.
Yeah, they have a really interesting story. So y'all
they do. So we're excited about it, and we thank you for hanging out with us today.
See you next week.
Have a great week.